Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Yeah. People say stuff like that.
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not Rock'em Sock'em Robots. This is Wretched Radio. This is not Bloodsport. This is a Christian talk show. And for that reason, we will not be discussing a lot of the internet hullabaloo that appears to be going on regarding some comments that I made recently. We don't fight with friends. Therefore, we're not going to respond and engage and take a poke at. Not going to do that, because that is a rule that we have followed for years here on Wretched Radio. And we are going to try to remain faithful to that, even though there are a fair amount of folks talking about what I was talking about regarding Romans 13. You can listen to all of the broadcasts that we did on that subject. I believe we spent 9 segments, about 99 minutes. Let's call it 100 minutes, talking about the subject. So if you'd like to hear what I said or didn't say, I encourage you to avail yourself of the internet resource of wretched.org, and you can listen to all of them, and you can hear what I said, because I don't mind being talked about on the internet or memed, but I do prefer that it's accurate. So for the record, I did not say that everybody should take the jab, because that's what Romans 13 teaches. Instead, I said I believe that we submit to the government unless they mandate that we sin. And then we have biblical permission, Rahab, Daniel 6, Acts 4 and 5, to not obey the government when it tells us to do something sinful. I furthermore encouraged people to spend a little time in Romans 14, which I believe is the chapter that helps us understand this is a conscience issue. If you go back and listen to those broadcasts, I never once mentioned what my position personally is on any of these subjects. Why? Because like Alistair Begg, I believe you're sensible people, and you don't need a talk show host monkey to tell you what to do with your body. Instead, we simply tried to work through it. How do we think this through regarding a government that appears to be doing things they ain't never done before? So I would encourage you to go back and listen, and I believe that that is what you will hear. Unfortunately, that's not exactly what's being communicated out there. But to those folks, you're our friends, we love you, and so we carry on to this. Jimmy, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers.
What is it? What is it?
Conviction.
Oh. Okay.
So yesterday, went to Kennesaw State University.
How
should
hot?
Have had more water. It was a little toasty.
That's what I was going to ask. How hot did you get?
That morning, this is going to be the hottest day all summer in Atlanta. Oh, cool. We're going to the campus. And it was cool because we found some shade and we talked to a number of students and we witnessed some conviction. This is it right here. Let me read this to you. It is a blue card, and it's got W's all over the back and on the front. Very well designed. Hey there. We're KSU. That's Kennesaw State University. Wesley, we're a Christian campus ministry, and we'd love to get to know you better. And then there are two holes in it, Jimmy. And in those two holes, they were putting Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pops and giving it to the kids. And then right next to our Methodist friends was a Roman Catholic booth where the fellow was giving away rosary beads and all kinds of Mariology information and why you need to work your way to heaven booklets. And that fellow is out there, Clarence, faithfully. And he has a queue. People are lined up to talk to him because he's out there faithfully engaging with the kids. And I couldn't help but ask myself the question, Where are we? Why are we out there? I Googled this once. Kennesaw State University. There are 26, give or take, I can't recall the exact number, but it was less than 30 churches within 5 miles of that campus. And our Methodist friends and the Roman Catholic Church, they're out there faithfully. If your church is near a university campus, I beg you, consider how you can reach those kids. This is basically the same idea that I have suggested for such a long time, because you give kids candy and then they read the message and they have a warm fuzzy about you. How's about the church bakes a bunch of cookies, puts them in a plastic bag because, you know, there's a pandemic out there and people are a little edgy about germs, and then put it on top of a gospel booklet. Don't stub your toe. Are you a rotten fish? And give it to them. And they might actually stop and talk to you. Please, church, know that the kids on the campus are willing to engage. I watched it happen with the Methodist booth and the Roman Catholic booth. Clarence at the Roman Catholic booth, and I can hear him. Well, you know, James teaches that works are necessary. And the distinction that he made, this I actually found interesting, because I received a clarification from Clarence, the Roman Catholic, how he deals with Romans 4. How does he import that and harmonize it with James' words that faith without works is dead? How do you not see that Paul was not talking about you need to do stuff to get or stay saved, but he's just saying the one who is saved demonstrates the veracity of their confession by doing good things? And this is what he said. You might want to be ready for this one. He says in Romans 4, when God is saying that Abraham, it was accounted to him as righteousness, that's grace, 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 he said. When you are brought into the family, James 4, I think it's James 4, no, whatever, James 2. James 2 is describing what you must do once you're in the family. And I added, and to stay in the family. So that's how he does it. Now, I would encourage you, if you've ever wrestled with these verses, scoot over to Romans chapter 4 and ask yourself the question, is that what Paul is after? That it's just grace when you get saved, but then it's works later to stay saved? I can't find it in the context. Somehow Clarence did, and he was willing to engage. There was a young man standing at his booth. He had 1776 on his shirt, and he's standing there with his Bible. And so I just kind of cozied up to the conversation, and sure enough, he had his Bible open to Romans 4, and Clarence is just hammering away, man. Where are the evangelicals? Where are we? These kids are getting hit by bad theology by the folks who actually have the maybe courage, maybe it's guilt. I don't know whatever motivates them, but they're out there. Where are we? Just to give you a heads up, September 1st, we are going to be doing a brand new Lollapalooza evangelical giveaway. We're going to be providing you again booklets that you can give away at university campuses, festivals, outreaches, your local church, youth group. We don't care. Just put it into the hands of somebody that you think who needs to read the gospel. And our hope in that is to again give away, I'm kind of nervous about saying this, 1 million copies of this booklet. And here's why. This is somewhat scientific. You may remember a number of years ago, we gave away a DVD on campus. That's right. Remember when people used to watch those? Well, we gave away 1 million copies of that. 1 million. No, when I say we, I mean you. You gave away 1 million copies. Then we produced a booklet called What Time is Purple by Tom Hammond, and you gave away 1 million copies. We've got a new booklet coming up. It goes after the issue of agnosticism, which is an increasingly popular worldview for university students. It's kind of the safe harbor zone. Well, I'm not saying you're wrong for believing in God, and I'm not saying you're right about denying the existence of God. They're in theological limbo, if you will. And this booklet goes after them, would encourage you, September 1st, get ready. You can go online and you can order as many cases as you promised to give away. There are 244 books in the case, and we will send them to you. And that includes shipping, because we got to get out there. We've got to not only just be competing with folks who are Christian organizations by name that are disseminating a false gospel, and we need to be out there with the true gospel of grace and pleading with them. And when I say pleading, I mean begging them, listen to this message. This is so urgent. And if and you're wondering, ooh, will the students put up with that? Will they really tolerate me? After all, I don't, not exactly their demo. Yeah, neither am I. I look more like one of the professors, well, you know, without the intelligence, than I do a student. And yet, I will share with you what happened just yesterday that should encourage you to get out there. This is Wretched Radio. Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we are grateful and we're thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and yes, even your snarks at idea@wretched.org or on Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. However you decide to reach out, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you, just like this email we recently received from a listener who prefers to remain anonymous. It reads, "Thank you so much for the encouragement. You remind me my focus needs to be on Jesus, not the world. Thanks for being so uplifting, even when it's uncomfortable." And hey, we thank you too for the encouragement. So send us those wretched stories, send us those questions, comments, conundrums, and even the snarks at idea@wretched.org or leave a voicemail at Beep Talk 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to plead. This is Wretched Radio. Just yesterday, went out and baked. I'm sorry, I went out to evangelize at Kennesaw State University. The crew wore shorts because it was so hot. I, on the other hand, didn't want to frighten the children. So I wore pants and a suit coat. And guess what? I believe it is because I actually looked like maybe what I'm out here about is so important, I got dressed up for it. The students actually talked to me. I would say the average conversation was between 20 and 30 minutes. Complete stranger. Hey, I'd like to talk to you. About what? This booklet. I want you to tell me if you believe the premise is accurate. Okay. And so I open up a new booklet that we're not telling you about yet until September 1st, when we will open up the floodgates and let the booklets fly from our warehouse to your hands so you can distribute them. And I simply talk to them about agnosticism. Do you adhere to that view? And guess what I discovered? I think each one of the students called himself a Christian. Each one. I believe we talked to six students yesterday, and we spent a lot of time with each one, and they each said that they are a Christian, and yet they, to put the best construction on it, they struggled to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just didn't know it. And then when I would share it, it would be like, oh, yeah, that's why I'm going to heaven. You've been telling me you're getting there by doing good stuff. God understands. You've done some deeds that outweigh the bad business that you've been involved in. And then when I tell them, actually, it doesn't work that way, and here's why. Your righteous deeds are offered from filthy hands. They are not acceptable to God. So even though you do good things on occasion, it doesn't stack up against the bad things any more than it would in a human court of law, where the judge would not find it admissible for the criminal to say, but I gave some money to charity. Has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. And the same thing is true with God. And interestingly, here's what each one of the students said. And this is not uncommon. The students all said, well, God's courtroom is different. Get ready for that one. You see, God's going to be a little softer than Judge Judy. God's going to be a little kinder than Judge Wapner. He's going to be like that guy from New Hampshire. Where's Jimmy? Have you seen those videos? There's a judge, and it's a courtroom, and he has the bailiff. It's kind of almost, you know, like the joke he taught, like he's like Ed McMahon.
Tossing
in the jokes.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And the guy listens to the case and has sympathy.
Right, yes.
And said, you know what? Extenuating circumstances, I'm going to let you go. And we all kind of go, oh, that's sweet. Now, got to be a little careful here, because I think there are some times when he's actually right in doing so. I don't know that his worldview can support this, but as a Christian, we know that laws are for people. People are not for the laws. They're for our good. And we can understand that there can be circumstances that are so challenging that if that law were applied, it would hurt people, not help them. Got to be really careful with that. But there are other times where it's like, you know, yeah, I know she's been having a hard time, but she keeps parking in the wrong spot and keeps getting tickets and she keeps refusing to pay them. A just judge doesn't let it go. And God's courtroom is certainly higher than a human courtroom and more thorough than a human courtroom. And I tried to share that with the students, and I found myself saying, I want to plead with you. Why? Because they continue to say, very nice. They're very nice. They would say, this is interesting. This is good stuff here. I'm going to think about this. What are you waiting for? What do you need to ponder? And some of them were courageous enough to say, well, one young man He was at least honest. He said two things that were like, he said, I'm waiting for a tragedy. Because that's what happened. You know, you get to have a tragedy, a hard thing happens, and then you kind of come to your senses and you then think about getting right with the Lord. Wouldn't you want to come to your senses like now? And I suggested to him what's lacking in his understanding is fear of the Lord. Now, please note, these were not confrontational in the sense of sounding like Fox News or a lot of videos on YouTube from Christian ministries. This wasn't that sort of tone. It was like, please, you need to get downwind from yourself. You need to understand the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Don't you want to be wise today? It could start. Genuine wisdom could start for you today. If you'll fear the Lord, throw yourself at the mercy of his court and let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why would you delay? And then the fellow said something quite honest. I said, I think I know four reasons. Four biblical reasons. There probably are more, but I remember once doing this as an exercise, which might be an exercise you want to consider to help you with your Bible reading. I find a reason for reading a book. I find something that I'm really intrigued about and I want the answer for. So now I'm going to read this book to see if I can find the answer. That might help you with your Bible reading program. Rather than perhaps just tossing that bad boy open and going, hell, I got to do it because, you know, no Bible, no breakfast, no read, no feed. I got to read the word every day. It's like honey, don't you know? So, but maybe if you have a question that you want answered, go ask it of the text and read through these epistles, read through the gospels to see if your answer is found there. And so it was. I was looking for the reasons that people reject God. And as I recall, I think I came up with four. There may be more. And number one, I said, so young man, I think here's the reason you're rejecting this. Sin. There's something in your life that you are doing that your parents most likely don't know about that you don't want to give up. And he said, yeah, that's right. Well, props for being transparent. Sin. For a season, it's fun. And university students who are entangled in much of it. Yep, there's the drugs and the rock and roll, but the porn, it has a hold on them. And by the way, speaking of pornography, did you see this consultant who's an expert on pornography and how to help Christian kids deal with it, stating you should avoid purity conversations when warning kids about porn? That's right. Don't talk about purity and what it means to sin by using your eyes as the conduit to put filth into your brain. Don't talk about that because that's going to drive the kids away. And they're not going to be open and transparent. I just don't buy it. I learned that yesterday when I was talking to this particular young man. They'll talk about it. That's not the issue. The issue is repenting of it. That's the issue. And for this consultant to say, well, don't talk about it because it might make the kids actually feel bad and it'll drive them underground and they won't want to discuss these things. Then you're going to miss an opportunity is to override that we should be preaching about purity, that we should be preaching about righteousness. Furthermore, as is always the case, I find it helpful just replace one sin with another. Hey, these kids that like to steal, don't talk about abstaining from taking what doesn't belong. Don't do that because they won't open up to you. Bullying, don't, because there could be some people who are bullies that like to beat up kids and you're never going to have access to them if you talk about the problem with being a bully. Racism, hey, don't talk about that because somebody who's racist might not talk about racism. Don't talk about chattel slavery because somebody who, you go, well, wait a second, now you've gone just a little too far. Agreed. We talk about sin. We do it lovingly. We encourage kids to talk less to us and more to their God, repenting of their sins, confessing their sins to the Lord, diving into the Word, battling sin, and then getting the help you need inside of the church, because that's what we're here for. And I would simply ask you this as an aside. Friel, this whole thing has been an aside. Does your church have the culture that would allow a young person to approach an elder and say, I've got a big problem? If not, I would suggest to you that is a big problem that you should work aggressively toward to make sure that young people who are struggling with this or any other sin have the freedom to know that they're not going to be shamed. They're going to be helped. The young man that I spoke to yesterday, more than willing to talk about it. And he listened to me plead with him for no less than 15 minutes. He endured it, took it. And they will take it from you if you go out to a campus lovingly and treat them respectfully. And don't act pugnaciously. I'm telling you, if you get there, you will be able to plead with them that today is the day of salvation. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. A former Texas past predator has received a 30-year sentence over his illegal filming of minors at church. David Pettigrew is his name. He was the false teacher in charge of the Church of the Nazarene in Denison, Texas. According to a statement released by the Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children tracked the origin point of several collections of child pornography to Pettigrew's home, leading local law enforcement to acquiring several search warrants to investigate both Pettigrew's home and his church. According to the investigation, Pettigrew had set up hidden cameras in locations to capture children in various stages of undress. In many cases, the cameras were hidden as simple devices such as hooks, clocks, smoke detectors, and other innocuous devices. Police would arrest Pettigrew alongside his co-conspirator, Chad Michael Ryder, a local chiropractor, last year on charges of child pornography. Pettigrew and Ryder would plead guilty to the crimes before a jury. The police in China have raided a small group of Christian worshipers from a heavily persecuted house church in southwestern China, and they arrested almost everyone, including an infant less than 1 year old and 9 children and 18 adults. Officers forcibly entered the home of a church member where the small group of the Early Rain Covenant Church was meeting for worship this past Sunday. Police claim to have received a call about the illegal gathering. A church member told International Christian Concern that many people were beaten by the police after being held in detention, and when the children were rowdy, the police officers threatened to hit them. Police later released most of them, but the pastor and his brother were put under administrative detention for 14 days. Open Doors USA, which monitors persecution in over 60 countries, estimates that there are about 97 million Christians in China, a large percentage of whom worship in what China considers to be illegal or unregistered underground house churches. Make sure that you are praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. And something else to pray about is the normalizing of filth, which continues to be propagated to our children. In what seemed like good news previously, OnlyFans has announced that they are reversing course on their previous announcement to cut out all pornography on its platform. Now, because there were outrage from a number of accounts on its website, the London, England-based social media website has announced that its previous announced ban has been canceled, and it will now continue to propagate pornography, even though the platform does not have the technology available to distinguish between minors. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation expressed its disappointment in the response, saying OnlyFans has chosen to continue exploitation despite knowing that it will face increasing criminal scrutiny over reports of filmed child sexual abuse. Earlier this month, more than 100 members of Congress sent a letter to the Attorney General calling on him to investigate OnlyFans over its content, which involves sexual abuse of children. It remains to be seen whether the latest course reversal by OnlyFans will spur that investigation. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern.
He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I don't know what that was. Here we go.
You be the judge.
You want answers?
Here.
Title.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Not trying to lose my crowns here on Wretched Radio, but I think my voice is a little goofy today because of all the evangelizing we did yesterday. Did that sound like I was trying to?
Oh, that was perfectly humble.
Thank you, because I am perfectly humble. Don't you know, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I have again for you in my never before nicotine stained fingers stories that we got to figure out what to do with these. And I mean, we need to stop. And come up, I think every Christian needs to figure out individually a plan for how to feel about the world whose wheels are flying off in four directions. What are you going to do with this stuff? Now, there are some Christians who are going to make it eschatological, and they are going to, because of their own personal circumstances, feeling the lack of love of the world growing cold, are going, hey, that means Jesus is going to arrive next Thursday. We don't want to do that. Remember, bad things, cataclysmic things happening are not to inform us of the date of Jesus' return, but to remind us of the fact of his return. That might change the way you read the Bible a lot when it comes to signs of the end times and interpreting your newspaper or your news feed. Be careful. Remember, the earthquakes, wars, rumors of war, it shouldn't help us to set our calendar for the return of our Savior, which is going to be awesome, but that he's coming back. And you should be encouraged, despite these bad things that are going on, these sinful, wicked atrocities that are being committed, Jesus, the conquering king, is going to return, and he's going to clean up this mess with fire. He's going to purify it. He's going to judge people, and he is going to sentence people for what they have earned for themselves. Incidentally, I found myself ripping off that phrase from Ray Comfort, which actually no longer is ripping off. It's just using it with slightly different language. Ray, when he witnesses to people, will regularly say, "Do you know what sin is?" And they'll say something like, "Well, you know, it's like whenever you do something wrong." And Ray, with that tenderness that just oozes out of him, "No, it's wages." He actually says no to somebody. In other words, "You're wrong. This is what it actually is." And the people don't go, "Hey, you jerk. How dare you say my thinking isn't right?" Because his tender voice lets them know, "You just don't have this right, but I'm going to help you with this." And he tells them that sin is wages that you earn for yourself, compensation for your behavior. And I found myself using that with students yesterday, and Ray Comfort was ringing in my ears. So I called up Ray Comfort, and I said, "Hey, today on the campus, I was thinking about you because I was using your material." And Ray, typical Ray, goes, "That's all right. I swiped it from Paul," who said the wages of sin is death. And then Ray... he said he was stealing from me. That's right. He said he was stealing from me, which is kind of funny when you think about how brilliant he is. We were having a conversation about repentance, and there are so many people who are concerned that repentance is a work. And he heard me saying, "No, repentance is not a work. It's just not doing something. It's not doing anything. By not sinning, you are not earning for yourself a reward. You're just not earning a punishment. That's all. So repentance isn't a work." And he was said, "Todd, that was so helpful," which I actually find hard to believe, because Ray, I'm telling you, he is a super fine theologian. He is so smart. And he said, I've been using that because it's helpful for the people who think that repentance is a work. It's not. It's just not doing what you're not supposed to do. I get it. I understand why people are concerned about that, because you go, faith alone. Remember, Protestant, sola fide, what's with the repentance and faith? Well, the repentance and faith business is because the New Testament 30 times commands repentance. Mark 1:15, Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the command. And so repentance and faith, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And I understand when people go, well, you're asking people to be perfect. Well, I would say yes and no. No, in that I know that human beings, because of our unglorified carcass, is not going to be perfect. But yes, we are saying be perfect because God says be perfect. Isn't that the standard? Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So I understand why people would think that it's doing something to achieve your own salvation. It's not. It's a surrendering. It's I'm done with it. I don't want it anymore. Here's an illustration I ripped off from somebody. Hey! At least I'm telling you I'm ripping it off. I can't even tell you who said it, but that's not important these days either. At least I'm admitting that I stole this, and this might be helpful for you. I'll try to think of who said this. It's bugging me. About 2 a.m, I'm going to just rip out of bed and go, duh, which, by the way, actually is not accurate. I will not be jumping out of bed in the middle of the night. And the reason for that would be, there's a dog lying on our bed who is pinning us in and not allowing us to barely move, let alone jump out of bed. We're dog sitting for our daughter. That's right. We've got a grand dog. And Winnie is adorable, but man, she needs to learn some sleeping manners. I'm amazed that dogs don't eat each other for the way they sleep together. Hey! A little, can I, between my legs? You need to sleep between my legs. Underneath the sheets. That's what you need.
I relate to this so much.
Is there no consideration for me and my needs? So I won't be jumping up anytime soon. Actually, I've got about hours to go. I get to go to Minnesota this weekend. I'm getting rewarmed up. Going to Minnesota. I find myself slipping right into that gear. I get to preach at a church. Faith is the name of the church. Ah, it's on our website. Visit wretched.org. Ace is the pastor there, and it is such a lovely group of people. They are so... Don't you love going to a church that's biblical and meeting the people? It's like, am I like related to you? Why are you being so nice to me? Do you want something from me? You're being awfully kind. No, they're just being awfully Christian. And so we'll be done with our dog sitting, and then I'll be able to jump out of bed and tell you who told the story of a man who's coming home from work. He gets out of his car. He has a bag of groceries in one hand and his briefcase in the other hand. He's walking toward the house. Boom, the door kicks open. The kiddos come running out. Daddy, daddy. What does he do? He drops the bags to embrace the better. Groceries are nice. Work is important, but I want my kids. That's repentance. I don't want that anymore. I don't want the dirty. I don't want the sinful. I don't want the shameful. I want Jesus. That's what I want. I want him. So I'm putting that stuff behind me. We know we don't do it perfectly, but that's repentance. Stopping. Changing your mind, your will, your emotions, your affections, all of it changed. That's what repentance is. And remember, a change of mind transliterated from metanoia is right, but the mind encompasses all of those things, does it not? That is what repentance is, and it's not a work. And I would encourage you, however, to work. To figure out a system when you see yet another ridiculous story and you're tired of palming your forehead and just, what's your framework for dealing with that biblically? How do I deal and balance a sense of sometimes righteous indignation with just downright annoyance with being concerned for their souls because this dumb fruit is merely a product of their bad belief system? In other words, when I see a story, part of me should say, wow, they're lost. Whoa. And dare I cliche, but for the grace of God go I. Therefore, there should be a component inside of us that says, I'm like Mr. T. I pity the fool and their foolish behavior. And I don't mean it as a pejorative, like I pity the fool. Instead, it is more like I pity fools in their folly because God pitied this fool in his folly. How do you put all of those emotions together when you read stories like this? Eventually, next on Wretched Radio.
Did you realize that everything seems to have its own day to celebrate it? August, in particular, has National Creamsicle Day, National Relaxation Day. And let's not forget about the month-long celebrations for National Catfish Month, National Goat Cheese Month, and the one I just deemed most important above all, International Gospel Partners Month. That's right. Celebrate with us, because while I'm obviously joking about International Gospel Partners Month, I am not joking about our reliance on you. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners to reach millions all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to you, Wretched Radio is among the top 5% of all podcasts across all platforms. Without you, that's not possible. So would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? And what better time to do it than right now during International Gospel Partners Month? Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids' clubs all throughout Eastern Europe, and I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Do you sometimes feel like your personal prayer time is lacking? Well, honestly, you're not alone. It's something that happens to all of us, probably more often than we care to admit. But if you want to transform and bring richness to your devotion times, then take a look at Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Dr. Boa's personalized adaptations of Scripture turns the Bible, God's Word, into prayers that will bring you face to face and heart to heart with God. By connecting Bible reading with personal prayer, you'll learn to approach both in a new way and rediscover the Bible as your most treasured prayer book. We believe in this book's ability to guide you into prayers that are faith-filled and powerful so much that we've added it to the Wretched Store. So grab your copy of Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship by Dr. Kenneth Boa by visiting wretched.org/pray and watch your prayer life be enriched. That's wretched.org/pray.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perspective, it ain't easy to have a good one. This is Wretched Radio. You have a cell phone. You, therefore, have access to the world, and you continue to see the world devolving. How are you feeling about it? How are you reacting? How do you respond when you hear stories like this? Jimmy, are you ready?
You be the judge.
Zoo bans woman from having an affair with a chimpanzee. She can't see him any longer. And she wants to because she believes that she has a love relationship with a hairy 38-year-old monkey. How do you react to that? What? And then you read the stories about the people who fall in love with inanimate objects and believe that they're actually romantic with the Eiffel Tower or an airplane. And we can get so maybe haughty is the word? Maybe forgetful. Oh, these people. Good, the world's going nuts. Here's just another demonstration. Yeah, the world is going foolish. It absolutely is. But this woman obviously has issues, and this woman obviously needs help. The zoo, not so helpful. They're concerned that Zippy, he's not going to make friends with the other monkeys because she's given him so much attention because she's visited him each week for the past 4 years, claiming that they've forged a strong friendship. I love that animal and he loves me. Well, that could be, but that doesn't mean that you should have a relationship on the Eros level with a monkey. This poor woman is broken. The zoo people are broken who are banning her from it. Right decision, perhaps, but just they're lost is what they are. I wonder, is it possible the reason that some of us can get sour, and believe me, I'm in this basket. I wonder if it's because we are not entangled enough in the lives of fellow saints. I wonder. Because the more time you spend with other Christians and you hear what is going on in their world, it has a tenderizing effect. I know that it has for me. I know it has. Because while I can continue to be a colossal judgmental jerk, it ain't nearly as bad as it once was. And one of the reasons that I have grown in those areas, yes, the power of the Holy Spirit totally, is because I continue to get exposed to fellow believers' woes. I just got a text from a beloved brother. His son is struggling in profound ways. I'm not going to share it with you because, you know, it's the internet and all that. And they're just brokenhearted. And I'm not talking about sin ways. I'm just talking the young man is just emotionally struggling. And it's affecting the entire family. And this is a guy who loves to preach the gospel to people. And yet, you could read his tweets. You could go to his website or Facebook and go, look at how great it is. But if you knew what was going on behind closed doors, you'd go, oh, brother, how can I pray for you? How can I help you? And the more we're hit by those stories of the one another's, I think it actually helps us balance out our response to the world going bonkers. Should we have righteous indignation? Yeah, that should be in there. Should we be annoyed? I don't think that's supposed to be in there. I don't think that's in the plethora of options of biblical responses to a world gone astray. We can't be agitated. We can't just be, oh, she wants to date a monkey. Can we have righteous indignation that the effect of the fall is pervasive and the devil works like nobody's business to help a woman fall in love with Bobo? Yeah, we can. How do you respond to these stories? Story number two, Instagram. Do you know that your kids are on the Instagram and maybe getting groomed? Oh, boy. This is from the UK. that the number of people, the online grooming crimes recorded by UK police have jumped up nearly 70% since 2018. And guess what they're able to do when they find these people who are trying to groom little children to do wicked things? They go to their phones, they go to their internet to discover what it is that they're looking at. And how did they find this kid? And the answer would be increasingly Instagram. Facebook-owned apps, including Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger, were used in almost half of the offenses. Snapchat was also named in more than a quarter of cases. I know the kids bellyache when they don't have a cell phone, or you have the audacity to say, I'm going to have total and full access to the equipment that I bought for you. And frankly, even if you did buy it with your own money, that's right. You really do get to say, under my roof and my authority, given to me by God, I'm going to protect you from very wicked people. And I'm going to protect you from yourself. And so we're going to be regularly checking what's going on. And you better get good at it, because they are, and they can find all kinds of ways to cover it and to hide it. And to, I don't know how it works, because I can barely text. But they're clever. Mom and Dad, you got to be all over this. Kids are not safe because of these devices. Another opportunity to figure out, how do I respond to a broken world? Here's another broken news story. Here's one for you. Japan. They're making robots. That doesn't shock you. What kind? Grandkids. Because grandparents don't have grandkids, because their kids aren't having kids, or they want more. They're lonely, or their families won't talk to them. I hope that trend isn't happening in Japan, too, like it is in the West. They're making a robotic grandchild. Robotic grandkids for lonely grandparents. That's our world. Couldn't be more lost. And I want to use these stories in my own life to remember the mission, to remember what we're doing here, and to remember what our goal is, and to remember what Jesus was laser focused on, not getting engaged in distractions. Wouldn't do it, never fell for the bait. Instead, focusing on the kingdom, on eternal life, and the proclamation of the gospel, showing compassion to people by healing them and preaching to them the good news. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what I need to be about. That's the game, y'all. That's it. That's the one you've been enlisted into. We don't get to create our own board with our own moving pieces. How many dice, or is it die? Die is one, dice is two.
It's dices.
Dices. Okay.
That's die.
Yeah. Well, I used to get to do the Steve Dices show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not so much anymore. At any rate, you don't get to create what it is that we're doing here. Do you have freedoms to pick your career? Of course we do. You can choose what you want for dinner tonight, but you don't get to choose the agenda of the universe. And when I hear these stories, I want to have it push me to get me on track. So when I read about a Virginia middle school that's removing urinals from the boys' bathrooms because there's a couple of girls who are confused, are offended by the presence of said devices. School policy 8040 states the staff shall allow gender expansive, I have no idea what that term means, or transgender students to use their chosen name and gender pronouns that reflect their gender identity without any substantiating evidence. Well, good. Oh, man. Did you catch that? There needs to be no proof. If you want to believe that you're that, who are we to judge? Shocking. Regardless of the name and gender recorded in the student's permanent educational record. This makes me bonkers. And you know where the righteous indignation comes in? The danger to kids. Because rulings like this, we're seeing them all over the place. Junior high and high school students can have their locker room invaded by somebody the opposite gender. A girl in a bathroom stall can find herself next to a boy in the same room. That should cause some righteous indignation. But I would like to challenge myself. If you need to be included, feel free to do so. But I want to challenge myself. I don't want to become a sour grape. I don't want to hate the world. I want to strive to overcome my fleshly reactions to these stories that can make one's head explode. With John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.